Radio.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
In the hands of an adolescent,
it is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Yeah. Emergency power!
Okay, I need you to help me. I need you to listen to this clip really quick. This is from Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. And it's been bugging me ever since I saw it in the movie theaters and then beyond. This is the battle sequence between the Enterprise and the Klingon Bird of Prey with Commander Krug, played by Christopher Lloyd. They've just been attacked by the Enterprise, and they're reeling. The ship is exploding. And then he says this.
Emergency power!
Okay, did you hear that? So he's saying something, 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 something. Let's listen to it one more time.
Emergency power!
Okay, he says emergency power, which makes a lot of sense because obviously they're reeling from being attacked there, and he's the captain, and he's saying emergency power. But then what is the second thing he says? Listen again.
Emergency power! Kirkbusters!
Does he say Kirkbusters?
Kirkbusters!
It sounds like Kirkbusters, right? Kirkbusters! Emergency power! Kirkbusters! And it's easy to say, Mike, you've completely lost your mind. How could you ever put that as saying Kirkbusters? That doesn't make any sense. And yet I submit to you, this came out in June 1st, 1984. And in July of 1984, another film came out with the title that just happened to be... So here I'm trying to reverse engineer this, and I'm thinking, oh, Christopher Lloyd is paying homage to this great film which is going to come out called Ghostbusters, which had already been anticipated being a big blockbuster hit, and it was. So in my preteen adolescent mind, he was saying... I'm not crazy. I'm not. I heard that. I thought he was saying Kirkbusters. It sounded like Ghostbusters. If you listen to it, it syncs up really nice, doesn't it? It's like Christopher Lloyd had worked with Ray Parker Jr. on Ghostbusters and then took that little kernel in his mind and used it when he said...
I know.
It's crazy, right? It's absolutely crazy. So what was he saying? Well, if you go online, I know you will, and you'll check out, if you type in Star Trek Search for Spock scripts, you're going to find a couple of versions. They're older versions. And apparently what they think he's saying is emergency power for the thrusters.
Emergency power!
He's not saying for the thrusters. He clearly says, Kerr.
Kerrock?
No, tribal elder from the Paradise Syndrome third season episode of the original series. He's saying Kirkbusters. He's saying Kirkbusters, damn it. And I know that those people who have those scripts posted on, those Star Trek III scripts posted online, were merely transcribing them. Why do I know this? Why? Because if you go through an IMDb, they talk about how Dame Judith Anderson, who played the Vulcan High Priestess, sort of talked to Harv Bennett and said, hey, what if DeForest Kelly, instead of saying, I accept, said, I choose the danger.
Choose
this was
danger.
A script change that was made on set. This would not appear in the script, in the final shooting script, because it was ad-libbed. But when you go through all these internet scripts, he says, I choose the danger.
I choose
the
danger.
Which is pretty damn awesome. You're going to choose the damn danger. And I'm choosing the danger on this because you know what? He doesn't say emergency power for the thrusters. He says... You're starting to come on board, aren't you? You're starting to say, you know what? Maybe Mike is right. Or Maybe this is going to be a really short podcast because Mike doesn't have a whole lot else to say about this, and that's okay. This is a tiny podcast because it's just bugging me. You know, it's bugging me. And, you know, this is my podcast. I don't have to do 2 hours of podcasting. You can go and jam on this, you know, do like a bunch of squats at the gym, and then you'll be done with this, and then you move on to something else. That's all right. But I needed to vent this. I need to get this off my chest because this film has been out for almost 33 years, and no one has said anything about this. No one's brought this up. I think people are afraid. I think they're afraid that if the truth comes out, someone's going to come and get them, like Section 31. We should talk about Section 31, shouldn't we? It's kind of like later franchise series that they'd go into Section 31. But it is something that we need. Well, we don't need to talk about that. I probably need some sleep, right? I probably need a little bit of sleep. I'm gonna see the Fools, the Doctor, and Stompy tomorrow. We're gonna have a great podcast in there. But for right now, I want you to know that in Star Trek: The Search for Spock, there is an anachronism where Commander Krug, Christopher Lloyd. He says he's such a big Star Trek fan, and I guess I'm happy that he played it. But Edward James almost could have played that role too. And man, that would have been a good performance, huh? I mean, that would have been like badass. Watch him Battlestar Galactica. He's really, really good. Watch him Blade Runner. Watch him anything. Stand and deliver. We could have got Krug and deliver. But instead we got Jim Ignatowski. Kirk, you're going to give me Genesis. We could have had a much better defining character for Klingons. The first time they really kind of opened their mouth. I mean, they kind of talked in, you know, the motion picture. But this would have been great to really see the Klingons really, really get them. But that's okay, because we wait a couple more years, and then we got Worf, we got that, all that stuff there. So we kind of saved it. Thank you for listening to this. Thank you for indulging me on this strange impulse that I had about my constant confusion over Kirkbusters. I'm Mike McCafferty. Hey, write a review. Hey, hit me up on Twitter. Hey, check out our Facebook page. Do all those cool things. You know why? Because I want to engage with you. We got Star Trek Discovery come up. Hey, they cast Rainn Wilson. He's a good guy, I presume. I presume he's going to be great as Harvey Mudd. But damn it, why wasn't that me? Why is he living my career? We were both on 6 Feet Under. I was on 6 Feet Under before he was. He was in Galaxy Quest. I give him that, but damn it. I shouldn't have gone to that, right? I should have just stuck on this fun stuff, but it just bums me out sometimes. This is my midlife crisis show. I can do that. He's older than me, though. He's older than me. And is he going to play it big and broad? And if so, how are they going to kind of marry the two styles? Because you know, for the rest of the series, it's going to be kind of like Battlestar Galactica. I know it's going to be like dirty and rough. Blah, 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 blah. But then they've got this crazy, like batshit crazy Harvey Mudd running. Like, yeah, Captain, please. And then how is that going to work? Is he going to be like, oh, Captain, please. I've got to get the Venus Drug over here. I mean, that's not going to work. I don't know if Rainn Wilson really wanted to sign on for that, but he's going to do it. So happy voyages for him. Because this is Star Trek Central right here. Right here on this podcast in my garage, Space Station Regular One, with you and me. And you know what we're going to be busting? I should have talked about the Enterprise clears its moorings. That's what I really wanted to talk about. But that's okay. Because we're going to get to that. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike McCafferty. I just want to talk about Kirkbusters, but I really want to talk about Star Trek!
Destruct sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand? Anything but this.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Daddy Lou Odell, sir, at your service.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Brooding, Mr. Spock, a sober, emotional state. Now,
I choose the danger. Hell of a time to ask.
Hello, I'm Kyle Ayers. I'm the host of Never Seen It, the podcast where comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we give them a read in studio. This is a clip I want to play for you guys from an episode where Langston Kerman rewrites Scarface. He's never seen it, but he wrote a script based on what he thinks he knows about it. And here's a clip. Give it a listen.
All right. Scarface, The New Frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced Ve A Pay in Spanish,
oh my gosh.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.